God's not finished with your story. And God's got a plan for your life. And there's more than what the enemy has been lying to you. Don't believe the lie that your life is over. Don't give in to the depression that your life is over. Don't give in and begin to say, hey, you know what? I'm just going to harm myself. Listen, God's got better things than you could ever think or imagine in store for you. And you start holding on to the promises of God instead of your feelings. And you say, you know what, enemy, I'm not going to listen to you anymore and your lies anymore. I have got hope in the name of Jesus. And hope wins over depression. Well, good morning. My name is Zach. I'm the lead pastor for your guest today. Glad to have you. Today is going to be amazing. Today is going to change your life, I believe, for some of you, body, soul, and spirit. For some of you, it's going to change the way you treat other people and how you look at them and the things that they're dealing with in their life and how you can help them maybe cope, maybe give you a little more understanding. According to a recent study, it says that Americans are less happy now than they were 50 years ago. Isn't that amazing? Which is surprising because we have cell phones now. It's shocking, really. According to some recent research, about 300 million people around the world struggle with the issue we're going to talk about this morning. 300 million. In the United States, that would be about 10% of adults, and about 15% of our youth deal with this issue that we're going to talk about today. It could change the way you live your life. In fact, it could be so difficult for you, it could cause just everyday pleasures of life to be sad and maybe discouraging and a loss of hope and loss of focus for some of you that are dealing with this issue. It can be both a mental health issue and it can be a spiritual battle. It could be one or the other or both at the same time. This sounds like a fun message, doesn't it? And Christians are not exempt from it. Oftentimes we think, well, I'm a Christian, so I should be exempt from these things. And because of that, we feel like ashamed if we're dealing with these struggles. But you shouldn't be ashamed. I'm going to help you today, and I believe God's Word's going to help us today to understand either if you're going through it or somebody else is going through it, and you're going to be able to help other people who are going through these issues. And what I'm talking about today is depression. Chances are someone here, maybe many someones here, are struggling with depression. Maybe you know someone who's struggling with depression. I want you to know today that hope wins. And actually, hope can win over depression. I hope you're taking notes because I'm going to give you a lot today. Hope can win over depression as we continue this series. That's my prayer today, that God would fill you with hope if you're dealing with these issues. Now, we've all dealt with depression at one level or another, whether it's for a few moments, a few days, or some people struggle with it for a long time. But here's my prayer out of Romans 15. It says, I pray that God, the source of hope, everyone say the source of hope. The source of hope will fill you completely with joy. How many need that? Joy and peace because you trust in Him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's my hope for you today. Whether you're dealing with it firsthand or you know someone who is, or you know what, maybe you'll walk through it in the future. I hope not, but maybe you will. And you'll have these tools today that we talk about to help you adjust and deal with and cope and have hope even though you're going through it. Are you ready, church? We're going to deal with this. Hope wins over depression. What I want to start with is this, some common misconceptions about depression. Some common things that are kind of like really not true about depression to help us kind of we build a foundation here and move on into God's Word. What are some common things that we think? Now, some well-meaning family members and friends have given people terrible advice when it comes to depression. In fact, let's just show of hands. Who here has ever given bad advice before? Raise your hand. I know who most of you are. That's why I don't ask you anymore. We've all given bad advice, haven't we? We've all given, and in the context of depression, some people have given terrible advice because they have a misconception about depression. And so we're going to talk about a few of those things. One of those, if you want to write it down, is this. Some people think depression is not real. It's not a real thing. In fact, it might have been said something like this. Well, you're just being lazy. because maybe they're so depressed they can't get out of bed. You're just being lazy. It's just an excuse. You're just faking it. It's not a real thing. Actually, depression is a very real thing. It can be actually a mental health issue where your brain is not firing as it should, or it could be a very serious spiritual battle, or it could be both and. This is a very complex issue. And I want to be careful as we wade through this that we really take it with a delicate heart and an open mind and heart to understand so that we can walk through this together. Sometimes in church world, people who deal with depression and struggle with these mental health issues often kind of like hide in the shadows and shame to a certain extent because they're like, oh, I'm weak. And because of that, they feel like, well, maybe no one will really understand. And what should be the case is that we should rally around those people who struggle with those things and encourage them and love them and pray for them and help them find the help that they need. It is a real thing. The other common misconception is this, I'm sinning if I'm depressed. I'm sinning if I'm depressed. Well, we might say it like this, you must not be trusting in God enough. You don't have enough faith. You're a weak Christian. You have too much doubt. Or how about this one? You're really not a Christian. And so then therefore it can give people these kind of feelings of shame and doubt, like, well, maybe God really doesn't love me. Maybe I'm just really not trusting in God, and that's not true. It's not a sin to be depressed. Sometimes it's a spiritual battle, as we've said, and sometimes it's a medical issue. We'll talk about that a little bit more as we go along. Another misconception is this, medical help is never the answer. In other words, people who actually go seek professional medical help are weak in their faith, and doctors aren't the answer, and so therefore, you know, you shouldn't be getting any type of medication. I have had 2 back surgeries in my life on my spine, which is super fun. Try it sometime. You'll love it. Every day of my life, I deal with back issues. Every day. I have to be careful how I pick things up. I have to be careful how I, you know, bend over and tie my shoes. If I do too much on my property, I have to be careful. I have to, like, take several hours off and rest, and I have to take ibuprofen. Sometimes I have to take muscle relaxers. Sometimes I just got to grit and get through it. Now, it would be ridiculous for someone to come to me and say, Pastor, the reason you're struggling with back issues is because you're really not trusting in God. Wouldn't that be ridiculous? I remember before I had my first back surgery, I could not stand up past here. And I would go to church, because I was on staff, I'd go to church and I was waiting to see the neurosurgeon. I could not stand up past here. It was embarrassing and all the guys were snickering at me. Those big bullies. And I remember one time they had a guest pastor come in to preach at the church, and he's a great man, and I know he loves the Lord. He's well-meaning, and he came to pray for me, and as he was praying for me, he put one hand on my back and one hand on my chest, and he tried to stand me up, and I was like, this is not happening. I mean, God's going to have to come down in person, because this is not, it was that painful. It was going all the way down my leg. I was almost going to have permanent nerve damage to have what they call as drop foot, where I couldn't lift my legs. It was bad. I was in a bad, bad, bad way. And God didn't heal me that way. What I needed was professional medical help, right? Tell that to the person that has a heart issue, and you tell them, hey, you know, you should be on blood thinners, and you say, well, medical help is not really the answer. Well, then that's a problem, isn't it? You see where I'm going with this, right? Now, I'm not saying some people do use medical help as a crutch. It's their excuse. Well, it's just me. I want to get more medication so I could basically just drug myself. You need to have competent medical help to, you know, if that's the course of action that God puts on your heart and you need to go that way. What I want to make it clear is that people who do seek medical help shouldn't feel like they live in condemnation. Now, some people have been freed. Some people in the church have been freed from the medical dependency that they had, and God's just done miraculous things. That's wonderful, 100% wonderful, and we should seek those things. But the misnomer is that we say, oh, medical help is not the answer. You should always just, I believe that God has given us the medical field as a blessing, right? Who here had pain and then had surgery and you're so thankful that you had it? Yeah. Yeah, that's what was me. I needed professional help, so we went out to the back of my garage and a guy came over from Craigslist and we fixed it. and I'm all better. It's great. Here's the truth. My back issue needed treatment, not condemnation. And for some, in the area of depression, it's a very interesting thing. It's a very delicate thing. You might need treatment instead of condemnation. No matter what, you should never get condemnation. You should get support and help. Another misconception is this: if I pray harder and have more faith, my depression will go away. Ever heard something like that? We might say, you know, something like that. Well, you know, you just need to pray more. You need to read your Bible more. You need to, you know, have more faith. But what if you're doing all of those things and you still struggle with them? See, sometimes that is the answer. I need to pray and I need to have more faith. Sometimes God heals that way. How many know that's true? It's in the Bible. And sometimes he doesn't. I don't know why. One of the most fascinating verses in the entire Bible is when God was speaking to Moses, and Moses said, God, I can't go because I have a speech problem. And God said to Moses, who made the deaf, the dumb, the mute, and the blind? Wasn't it I? That's a fascinating verse. That somehow God could use these issues that we face for his glory. It's a big thing to wrestle with. Whether God heals you immediately or not, somehow in his wisdom, somehow in his ability to do things perfectly, he lets us walk through these seasons to get us to a point that we too, like Job, would come out the other end and say, God, before I had only heard of you, but now I see you. Now my relationship with you is deeper than it ever was before. Yes, you should pray. Yes, you should have faith, even if God doesn't heal. Doctors have done research and talked about it constantly. You know, it's still an exploring field, but this whole aspect of how it's affected by genetics and the way the neurons fire in your brain and all these things that can have factors within the context of your mind that cause depression, you know, not discounting the fact of spiritual oppression, right? Where you're being oppressed in that area and it causes depression in your life. Some of you don't have depression and your brain still doesn't work right. You're sitting next to that person. That's next week's series, right? We're talking about hope wins over crazy. We're talking about you. It's going to be great. You see, here's the truth, and follow me, because this is where we tie it all in biblically. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It was perfect. He created the Garden of Eden, perfect. Adam and Eve, perfect. No back issues, amazing. No depression, amazing. They never fought. I mean, that's amazing. and then sin came. You see, and then sin came in and shattered that perfection. And that evil and that wickedness shattered that perfection. And we all now live with the results of what that sin caused. All the problems and the sinful things in the world and all the wickedness in the world are a result of that one falling. Because sin brings about death, and sometimes that death is slow and painful. But there's good news when we come to Jesus, because hope can win over depression. Hope can win. We do believe that. And so here's what I want to give you this morning, how hope can win. And we're going to ask ourselves this question: how can hope win over depression? I want to give you God's prescription for depression. You guys ready? I'm going to write you a little prescription. I'm going to tear it off my little spiritual tab. I'm going to give it to you, and you're going to take it home with you. Ready? You ready? Okay, you guys are as quiet as the first service. First service, I can hear a pin drop. You're like, oh man, I can't believe he's talking about this issue. Bring it on. Here we go. Ready? Okay, God's prescription over depression. Number one, you got to focus on facts, not feelings. Everybody say facts. Facts, not feelings. Yesterday, there was a gigantic snake in my backyard. I'm talking, it was this long. I'm not even exaggerating. It's not like fishing story for some of you. Like, it was this big. No, it was this tall. And it was about this big around. It was huge, okay? And I told my family, I said, there's a big snake in the backyard. I thought it was like a log. And I was like, oh my gosh, no, that's a big rattlesnake. And then I go out there. Now, she's going to kill me if you tell her. You guys are all sworn to secrecy right now because my mother-in-law sees the snake. Now, what you don't know about rattlesnakes is they can only strike up to about half the length of their body. So if you have a 4-foot rattlesnake, it can only strike about 2 feet, okay? Approximately, okay? 2 to 100 feet, somewhere around there. And so that means if I'm 10 feet away, I'm safe, okay? I'm safe. Don't get close. If I'm 20 feet, I'm safe. My mother-in-law is 100 feet away. That's the facts. Her feelings were telling her that she was holding it next to her face. Okay? Oh, there's a snake, right? That's exactly how she sounds. And it was panic, right? And so as she was well within safe distance, but she's got that snake, it's like, oh my gosh, it was like she was holding it. How many know sometimes that's how our feelings get all riled up, all mixed up, all emotional, and we start focusing on the feelings instead of the facts. Fact was, she was in no danger whatsoever, okay? Because if the snake came close to her, I would have pushed another family right in front of the snake, and she would have been good. If you are struggling with depression or even discouragement or deep sorrow and you're going through a dark time of, if you will, the Bible says the valley of the shadow of death, you should never make major life decisions during that time because you are more than likely focusing on your feelings. And we're going to talk about one of the most major decisions some people make at the end of this message today. And so I want to give you a couple of facts to feed on as you go through this valley. Maybe you know somebody who is going through the valley and you can help them to focus. Here's the facts. Number one, God hasn't abandoned you. That's fact number one. You see, your feelings often tell you when you're going through a dark time that I'm alone. No one cares about me. I'm by myself. God doesn't care about me. If God really loved me, I wouldn't be going through this dark time at all. And the truth is completely opposite because the Bible says this in Hebrews 13:5. It says, "Never." God says, never will I leave you and never will I forsake you. So feelings make me feel like I'm abandoned and I'm alone. And God says, no, that's nothing could be further from the truth. I never leave and I never forsake. Maybe for you, you had a parent abandon you or a spouse abandon you or maybe a dog abandon you or maybe you wish your dog would abandon you. Listen, God never leaves. You got to be quick on the uptake, people. Psalms 34 says this, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. God's close. You might not feel like he is, but the fact is the word of God tells us that God never leaves us in those times. Fact number two, God's love and power is perfect in your weakness. It's perfect. You know, we want to be strong all the time, especially guys. We want to be strong all the time. I don't want anybody to help me. You want me to help you lift that? Common guy answer is no. Lift it myself. 2 back surgeries later. We want to be strong. All of us, we have this pride issue where we don't want to rely on other people. We don't want anybody else's strength. We want to be able to do it. I made it by my own power. I did it. I pulled myself up by my own bootstraps, right? I did it. I'm a self-made man. I'm a self-made woman. And the truth is, that's not when God's power works the most perfectly in your life. It works the best when you realize how weak you really are. Look at 2 Corinthians. Paul's talking about this in his life, and he says, in order to keep me from being conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. That's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardship, in persecution, in difficulties. We could add depression there. For when I am weak, then I am strong. When I'm weak, what? Then I'm strong. When I'm weak, when I'm at my weakest, all of a sudden I recognize how much I'm dependent upon the strength of the I am. And I need him to strengthen me in my weaknesses because I know I am not strong enough on my own. I need his power to work through me. And that's a fact. And God's perfect strength comes right when we're at our most vulnerable and most broken. Fact number three, God has a plan for your life. You know, it's interesting. How many have just come to realize that your plans never work? Anybody? Anybody right now, your life is not how you thought it would turn out 20 years ago? You're like, no, I had it all planned out. No, you didn't. You did not. God hears you. See, God's plans for us are better than his plans. When God was speaking to his people Israel through the prophet Jeremiah, he said this, and I believe he would say it to you today, is, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Oftentimes people read this verse and think, well, that means that I'm not going to have any problems. That's not what it's talking about. It means that even though I go through the problems, God still has a plan for my life. God still has a purpose for my life. God still has hope for my life. God still has good for my life. God still is going to bring me out on the other end. End of it, winning over these things that try to dominate my life and my mind. So as you go through those things, you need to focus on what is the facts. And maybe if you know someone who's going through these situations, you need to help them to focus on the facts of life instead of, and the facts of God's word instead of their feelings, because their feelings can overwhelm them so quickly. How many know that's the truth? God's prescription for depression, write this down. You have to keep fighting for your soul. Keep fighting for your soul. Make no mistake, there is a very real battle raging for your soul. And it's between God and the devil, just to make it simple. The devil does not want you to serve God. He does not want you to fulfill the plan of God in your life. He does not want you to come out on the other end, you know, fulfilling all that God has for you. He wants you to be destroyed. In fact, he would like it if you were for all eternity cast into outer darkness. But then we also have on the other side, we have God who loves us so deeply, and he's fighting. In fact, Jesus says it's finished, because guess what? Jesus already won. And living in that whole thing, we still have to fight the battle knowing the victory is ours. We're saying, I'm fighting a battle you've already won, right? I know that he's already won, but I still live in a real world with real problems. How many know that's the truth? I still struggle with depression. I still struggle with sadness. I still struggle with doubt and anxiety and fear and all these things that keep me in this deep pit sometimes. I have to rage and fight for the battle of my soul. I was reading just this last week about this fishery that, maybe you've heard this story before, this fishery was trying to get codfish from the West Coast to the East Coast. And they were trying to figure out how to ship it over there so that the restaurants could have the fish nice and fresh and tasty for all you vegetarians. And so they froze the fish and they set it over there, but by the time it got to the restaurants, it was mushy and lost its flavor and it was kind of like not good. So then they shipped it over live in tanks, but by the time it got there, all the codfish were dead. So one guy comes up with this idea, I got a plan. Let's put the nemesis, the enemy of the codfish in the tank, the catfish. I know a guy came up with that idea because a guy would think that and think it's cool, let's watch them eat each other. And so they put a catfish in there, and then when they got over to the East Coast, they were alive and fresh, and the fish was delicious. And the whole thing, what happened was that now the codfish and the catfish were fighting the whole time and running, you know, they were running from the catfish, and there was this battle raging that kept them alive and vigorous. You need to keep fighting for your soul. Maybe you have a catfish in your tank and it's called depression. You need to keep fighting and raging, and don't give in to the catfish. Don't give in to the depression. Don't give in to the sadness. Don't give in to the dismay. Why? Because God's got something for you at the end of the road. God's got something for you at the other end of it, and it's good. And it's good. Ephesians talks about fighting for our soul this way. It says, put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm. Everyone say stand firm. You stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. See the spiritual oppression there? Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will not be able to resist the enemy, so you'll be able to resist the enemy in a time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground. putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on peace that comes from the good news so that you'll be fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. See, you need to keep battling over your feelings and say, you know what? I'm going to keep practicing the principles. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep seeking God's word. I'm going to keep worshiping. I'm going to keep coming to God's house because I need to be in godly community that's going to encourage me. I'm going to keep battling for my soul. In other words, I'm not going to quit. And maybe that needs to be you today. You need to get some resolve. Say, I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep battling, raging for my soul. Maybe you say, well, Pastor, I can't even get out of bed. Then fight in your bed. You say, God, help me to put on the helmet of salvation today. Help me to take up the sword of the Spirit. You start fighting wherever it is that you are, whatever place that you are. You know, sometimes we say, oh, I'll fight when I get to a certain spot. No, you start fighting right now. And you start fighting the battle for your soul, and with the power of the Holy Spirit, God will give you victory. God's prescription for depression is this: let God be the author of your story. Let God be the author of your story. Some of you are so depressed, or even know some. And listen, I'm just going to say this. Don't be fooled by somebody's outward appearance when you see them, because a smile can cover up a lot of things. Some of you are so depressed that you've considered taking your own life. You've considered, and possibly are, cutting yourself, harming yourself. Suicide is at a very high rate, not just in the United States, around the world. You think, well, what's the purpose of going on? Why should I go on beyond this? Why should I keep moving forward? Some of you have even thought about just drugging yourself to oblivion. I'll just take more medication. I'll just take more drugs, and it becomes a way out for you. I know some in our culture, we would joke and say some things along the lines, oh my gosh, I'm so embarrassed, I'm just going to go kill myself. We almost say it flippantly, but it's really no laughing matter at all. Someone would end their life. I want to encourage you today to let God be the author and the finisher of your story. Some of you might have seen it or heard of it. It's called a semicolon tattoo, and people often put it on their arm. The semicolon tattoo represents people who have decided to not take their life, or they have gone through a dark time and they realize it's not the end for them. They're not finished. In writing, a semicolon would be a place in which the author could finish the story or finish the sentence, but he's chosen to continue the story and write beyond that. You might have reached a semicolon moment in your life right now, but I'm going to tell you right now, God's not finished with your story. And God's got a plan for your life. And there's more than what the enemy has been lying to you. Don't believe the lie that your life is over. Don't give in to the depression that your life is over. Don't give in and begin to say, hey, you know what? I'm just going to harm myself. Listen, God's got better things than you could ever think or imagine in store for you. And you start holding on to the promises of God instead of your feelings. And you say, you know what, enemy, I'm not going to listen to you anymore and your lies anymore. I have got hope in the name of Jesus. And hope wins over depression. Philippians 1:6 says this: I'm certain that God, who began a good work in you, everybody say in me, who began a good work in you, will continue his work until it's finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. God is not done with you yet. Are you with me? He's not done with you yet. And maybe you know somebody who's down in the dumps, who's such in a dark place that they need a friend just to come and be patient with them and love them and care for them as they're going through this. Sometimes we don't have understand because we're not going through those things ourselves. But you need to be patient and have grace and mercy for those people and walk through that dark time with them and help them, because you know what? There might come a day when that person walks with you. God's not done with you yet. I want to pray for you. Bow your heads, close your eyes just for a moment. Maybe you're here today and you have been struggling with depression. It's so dark for you sometimes. You don't even know how you're going to cope. I believe in a wonder-working God, a God of miracles. I believe that he can come to you at your darkest time, at your most vulnerable time, and he can give you hope and strength. And I don't want to embarrass anyone. I don't want anybody to feel ashamed or feel like we're pointing them out. But with every head bowed, every eye closed, if that's you, I want to pray for you. And I just want you to just raise your hand. You could say, yeah, that's me, Pastor. I'm struggling with depression. I get so down sometimes. Yep. So discouraged sometimes. So lost in my despair, I don't even know where to go. Jesus, you see these hands. Give them hope today. Break the chains that bind them. Shine your light into their darkness. And let them see, Lord, you are closer than they ever could have thought. Help them, Lord, to just put their trust in you like never before. Lord, I pray for healing over their mind, over their thoughts, over their body, over their spirit. Lord, and I pray that you would just continue to give them hope, the hope that lasts for eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.